right now, and you are an ever-present help in time of need, God. You are our joy, you are our strength, you are our blessing from above, God. We just thank you for this moment in time where we can just share the love of Jesus with each other and hear from you now through your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's message is from the Emmanuel story from Isaiah. But before we get into it, if you brought your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 7. We'll be in verses 10 through 16. And the title of the message is God with Us. But I have to share something with you. Sister Karen shared this little treat with me that is just an indication of God's connection with all of us. It's just a little devotional, and it's a scripture that says from Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And the caption reads, wrapped in the moment, wrapped in the wonder of a moment, in his presence we wait on God. And today's message is really about knowing, experiencing, acknowledging, loving the presence of God in our lives. And for us as flesh and blood to have a holy God that wants to connect with us, that wants to sense his presence, it can be certainly a challenge, can it? It can be even difficult in difficult times to know and sense God's presence right here, right now, in the moment, especially a health issue like all of the health issues we just prayed for with Brother Don. And we thank you, Don, for all of that. And we'll continue to lift up all those that are suffering from COVID and other things that we just deal with on a day-to-day basis. And that's the blessing of the church, isn't it? When we can come together and pray for each other and know through the week we are praying for each other. It strengthens us. But on top of that, to know a holy God loves us and his presence is with us, that's something that gives us even a greater strength, the strength from above that we wouldn't have otherwise. So as we look to Isaiah 7, verses 10 through 16, we have some character studies we're going to do as we come through these verses, namely, of course, Jesus. But we'll also be looking at the prophet Isaiah and talking about Mary again, and also looking at a couple kings, King David and King Ahaz, who actually this original verse came to. So again, this is the story of Jesus. It's his story. I love history because it's his story. And as we look to the history of the prophecies of Messiah, of today's message, Emmanuel, it is so important when we go to the Old Testament to see Jesus there. And too many times the church and from the pulpit, we can tend to just look at the New Testament, which of course is a blessing, but what help completes our study and our knowledge, understanding of God and his perfect plan for mankind is to go to the Old Testament and see what real people actually went through in their difficulties in walking with God. That's the name of Jacob means wrestling with God, governed by God. Eventually, I mean, he literally wrestled with God physically. And that identified his whole life of his struggles with God. And in some ways, we can be a Jacob, can't we? We can struggle. And, you know, when I hear people that are struggling and they're saying they're angry with God, you know, I never fully understand how you can be angry at a God who loves you so much. But nevertheless, that can happen, can't it? Just in our struggles with life, and because maybe we don't understand what God's doing in the moment. But when we can wait on him and trust him, he's going to bless that faith every single time. So our series here is, last week we studied A Son is Given, and today God with Us, and next week the title of our message is Christ is Born. So this is all about Christmas. And just some captions from the Christmas story. with a focus on the Emmanuel story specifically. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. So the original Old Testament source of this is, as I mentioned, from Isaiah 7. And there's some characters here we need to look at. This prophecy came through the prophet Isaiah, but it was directed to King Ahaz, who was the predecessor of King Uzziah. Uzziah was the king of Judah for about 52 years, so a long time. Imagine having a president for 52 years. Well, they had a king for 52 years, and when Uzziah died, it was an important moment in the life of the prophet Isaiah, because in the year he died, it says in Isaiah that Isaiah actually saw the Lord on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Remember that verse? Can you imagine being just a person, you know? Yes, Isaiah was a prophet and called by God, no question, but to see that vision as maybe perhaps at that time a fairly young man, a young prophet at the time, what kind of impact that would have on your life? It's like when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and those first few steps as a Christian, as you're getting to know God maybe for the first time, when the Holy Spirit is moving and interacting and an active part of your life, life is totally different. And this obviously impacted Isaiah to such a degree that it affected his life on earth as he knew it. And God was able to use him to speak forth actual prophecies. And in our study today, the prophecy of Emmanuel or Messiah. Before we go any further, I'd like to welcome everybody that's watching online. God bless you and welcome to our service here this morning. So we're going to look at King Ahaz. King Ahaz, who this prophecy went to, was probably one of the worst kings of Judah. Judah had some good kings and some bad kings, but Ahaz was probably one of the worst. And he did some pretty horrific things. He worshipped other gods and practiced some very evil practices that really separated him from God, and God was not able to use him. The only good thing maybe he did was he fathered King Hezekiah, who was a good king. And King Ahaz, in this case, finds himself under attack, okay? And he's probably wondering how this is all going to turn out. And a lot of those kings in those days would go to a prophet only when it was absolutely necessary. And most of the times, they'd go to what I call the yes-men prophets, who would just tell them what they wanted to hear. Oh, yeah, king, you're the best king ever, and this is all going to turn out great. And you know, God would do whatever he was going to do. And those false prophets would be proven false every single time. But the actual prophet, like an Elijah, would come in and tell the king the truth, like to Ahab in his case, and he wouldn't want to hear it, right? They don't want to hear the truth. And people today aren't much different. A lot of people today don't want to deal with the truth that we're sinners separated from God and we need our salvation, right? Those kind of basic things. But nevertheless, Ahaz was in that camp that didn't want to hear the truth. So in this section of scripture, God is asking if Ahaz wants a miracle. He's saying, look, you've got an enemy at the threshold here attacking you. Do you want what he calls a sign in those days? Same word is a miracle. Do you want me to do something special here? And Ahaz's response pretty much is what we'd say today. I'm good. I got this. I don't need to pray. You know, I don't want to bother God, or I'm too busy to pray, or, you know, I'll do that. I'll pray as a last resort. You know, what did they say? When in doubt, pray, or, you know, if all else fails, pray, things like that. No, we should pray first, especially the church, right? So let's do that with all earnest. Despite Ahaz's rejection, pretty much, of God's earnest desire to to cover this problem, to help him with this pending enemy, God proclaims the coming of Messiah, of Emmanuel in our story here. So let me read these verses, Isaiah 7, 10 through 16. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in depth or in height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but you will weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. So specifically, a message of the coming of God's Son in a time that we wouldn't normally expect. You have an evil king that's being attacked, that needs God, but he's in the world, struggling with the things of the world. In his case, an enemy coming and threatening his life. But that's not much different, is it, than anyone else in the world that has struggles with finances, health, relationships, or whatever. And then a loving God comes with the answer, with Jesus Christ saying, here's the answer. You know, if you trust in me, if you have a relationship with me, if you realize how much I love you, in Ahaz's case, I'm going to help you with this enemy. But the big problem is you don't know me. You don't know God. And you're not able to, in the moment, see the solution that's right in front of you. Because Ahaz was blind. And he just did not want to believe. And that's the problem with sin, isn't it? It obscures the knowledge and the understanding of the presence of the Lord. And that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. In Genesis, remember, one of the most heartbreaking verses is after Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They tried to hide from God. And as God comes in the cool of the day, remember, and he's walking to fellowship with them, he asks, where are you? And they're hiding. It actually says in Genesis 3, 8, 9, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called Adam and said to him, where are you? After, I'm sure there was probably a time where they could regularly count on God coming and just experiencing his presence. Because then, before the fall, before sin, they were able to see God face to face. Which, once we are restored in our heavenly glorified bodies, we're going to be able to do that. But we can't do it right now. Why? Because we're flesh and blood. We have God's Spirit inside of us, and we can experience him spiritually, but it's not easy, is it? It's difficult. And it comes with prayer. It comes with God's sovereign will to help us sense his presence in our daily lives. Is it constant? No. Can it be? I think it could be more consistent when we're devoted to it, but as flesh and blood, it's a constant struggle, really, to sense the presence of God. But it's so precious to us when it happens. It's like having a relationship with your loved ones, with your family. As we look forward to Christmas, and hopefully we can gather somewhat. It's going to be maybe a little restricted or different. But that's one of the most precious things about Christmas, is being able to gather with your family. Margaret and I were just blessed because we're actually on our way back from Tucson. We got to see our granddaughter on Thursday and Friday. And oh my goodness, she's a month old now, Lucy Ann Hart. And she's so precious. It was just a moment I wanted to capture in time, just staring at her and just memorizing her face, right? But how precious is family to us, and the memories, and just sharing life together with them. God looks at us the same way. He's our loving Father in heaven. And he wants that same kind of nurturing, caring relationship that we have with our children and our grandchildren. So how can we possibly take that for granted? We can't, can we? It's something we have to nourish and maintain and grow and foster. Our sin takes our hearts away from God. And the problem with sin is it strains our relationship with God. And so if we're caught up with any kind of certain sin, we have to remember it's not God leaving us. It's us walking away, turning our backs on God. And he can't look at sin. So what do we have to do? We just have to confess it and share our hearts with him, ask him for forgiveness, realize that's what the cross is all about, and move on, right? It's a constant process of seeking God's presence in our daily lives. And the psalmist in Psalm 46 understood this when he wrote, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. What does Selah mean? Rest, right? It's a rest. He goes on to say in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Again, Selah, rest in that truth. And finally he says in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. So when you are shaken by the world, when you're troubled by the world, where do we go? We go to God. We go and seek the presence of the Lord in our time of trouble so that we can have rest in him. Be still and know God's got this. God's got COVID. God's got the United States of America. God's got the world. And so with all of that, we draw closer to him in this time and draw our strength from him to be better for it when we come out of this. The vaccine's on the truck right now, right? And so what does that mean? We'll find out. I don't know. God knows. Is the vaccine the answer to mankind? No. Will it help? We hope so. We're going to pray. We're going to pray that, hey, the masks come off and we can get back in the sanctuary, right? We can pray God's going to do a great work here. And we're hoping and praying the vaccine does make a difference and lighten some of these restrictions on us. But in the meantime, we hang in there, right? We wait on the Lord and we rest in him. When you study the book of Jonah, what was he doing the whole time? You know, he was running from the presence of the Lord because he knew the compassion of God, that he was going to do something wonderful to his hated enemy, the Ninevites. To think you can run away from God, it's like trying to run away from air. It's impossible, isn't it? But we can do it in our hearts, can't we? And we have to be very, very careful of that. So let's look at our author that the Holy Spirit used here in Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet, of course, serving under five kings, actually, in Israel and Judah. And as I mentioned, that most impactful time in his life when he saw the Lord and forever changed by that, and then had this calling to speak the truth to the people of Israel. And like Jeremiah, dealing with constant rejection. And that's the challenge of the church today, isn't it? Is we're giving out the love of Jesus, sharing Christ with people, and is it readily received today? No. Is it readily deceived, I almost said, today? Yes. You know, there's a deception out there that about Christianity that we need to correct. You know, that is the world, misunderstands who Jesus is out of ignorance, okay? So do we judge them for that? No. We have to love them even more. We have to share and demonstrate the love of Christ with the world because they don't know him. And why? Because that's God's heart to do that, right? And he's using us to share the love of Christ. And so Isaiah was fulfilling this role of the prophets and the angels. Peter shares in 1 Peter chapter 1, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that will come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have been preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Church, we are blessed. We have Bibles, like Brother Don mentioned. We have YouVersion. We have the Bible right on our phone. We have all the resources in the internet. We have, in this information age, more resources than any Christian, really, probably at any time. And yet the church is struggling because of the evil that's out there, because of things that happened in church history, misunderstandings, miscommunications about what Christianity is all about. So how do we correct all of that? With love. Loving on people. Demonstrating the love of Christ with people. And we have, as I've mentioned, I will continue to mention, we have such a great opportunity now to help people that are struggling, that are depressed, that are discouraged, that don't know where to turn. But we can share the love of Christ to bridge that gap and let God do a work in their lives. He is our ever-present help in times of trouble. And the people we are witnessing to need to understand that. This side of prophecy, it's on us now to share the love of Christ. So let's look at the Virgin Mary. She's mentioned in this story in Isaiah 7:14. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Mary's genealogy is mentioned in Luke, that Jesus was to come from her lineage as well as Joseph's lineage. It says in Luke 3:23, "Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 33 years of age, and as was supposed, was the son of Joseph, the son of Heli," who, as I mentioned last time, was actually Mary's father-in-law. So both genealogies of Joseph and Mary all led to Jesus. What I want to share with you this morning is Mary's reaction after the angel Gabriel came to her and said, "You're going to bear the son." And she says, "Wait a minute, I've never known a man." She said, the angel Gabriel said, "The Holy Spirit is going to do this." And this is her reaction of hearing that news while she was visiting her cousin Elizabeth. She says in Luke 1:45-50, and Mary said in verse 46, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him." You hear her humility in this moment. She wasn't given over to pride. She was humbled that a holy God would want to use her as a vessel to deliver Messiah. How humbling that was. And so her character, Mary's character, is revealed in this moment. Of the virgin birth, Matthew 1:19 says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. This was a miracle birth. The birth of Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, as blessed by the Holy Spirit. Spurgeon said about the virgin birth, there was no other way of his being born. For he had been, if he had been of a sinful father, how should he have possessed a sinless nature? He is born of a woman that he might be human, but not by man that he might not be sinful. 100% God, 100% man, God with us. God's perfect plan revealed through the birth of Christ in the virgin birth. Now let's look at King David, because Jesus was in the line of David. Isaiah 11:1 says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." So King David was the son of Jesse. Jesus was an ancestor, if you will, of King David, not the immediate son, but he's called the son of David. Okay, that doesn't mean he was his literal son, like we talked about Absalom last week, who was, but he was generations away from the king of David, King David, and Jesus fulfilled the promises that King David's throne would last forever through Messiah, through Jesus Christ. Luke 1:32 says, "He will be great and will be called Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." When Jesus was questioning the Pharisees in Matthew 22:42, he says, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son will he be?" They said to him, "The son of David." Okay, so even the prophecies, the non-believers in the time of Jesus understood that Messiah was going to come from the line of David, as was prophesied. Now, God had a covenant, an agreement, a commitment to David that this was going to happen. It reads in 2 Samuel 7:16, "And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever." That was about the ultimate way God could bless a Jew, namely, in this case, King David, was to know that your legacy was going to last forever through your line. That was the ultimate privilege, the ultimate blessing for a Jew at that time, and really still today. That's why they wanted to have boys. They wanted their name to go on forever. That was the way they felt that they could actually experience eternal life. Now we, all believers, can do it through Jesus. Okay? Jesus is our eternity. He's our eternal life. And then Jeremiah 23:5-6 go on to talk about this blessing for David. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his day, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness," which in the Hebrew is Jehovah Tsidkenu. Commentator Trapp said, "Jehovah Tsidkenu, this is the sweetest name of the Lord Jesus Christ, importing his Godhead as the righteous branch of David did his manhood." So another name for Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu, one of the many Jehovah names for Jesus. But today, it's about Emmanuel, God with us. And the challenge, the opportunity for all of us is to know and sense and cry out for the presence of God, and to see Jesus as our Emmanuel. And how do we do that? It's through prayer. It's through seeking God on a daily basis so that we can know the joy of his salvation, like we read, but to know that pure joy, an eternal, holy, loving joy that wants to reach out and help others. Christmas is about giving, isn't it? It's not about receiving so much. It's better to give than receive, isn't it? And Margaret is an expert package wrapper. Because every package that she wraps is a work of art. It really is. It's so funny. Every time she gives a gift out, nobody wants to open it because it's so beautiful that, all this intricate detail and everything, and they're going, well, I can't open this, I'll destroy it, because it's so beautiful. And that's Margaret. She just loves that attention to detail in her wrappings. And what she's saying when she's giving those gifts is, you mean something to me. This is really special. And I'm going to take the time to make it special for you. And that message always comes through every single time she gives a gift. And then, my wrappings are so pathetic. I got tape all over the place and all over me, and I can't even tie a bow. And so you always know my gifts because they're just a mess. But she, challenges me to do better. To know, again, to know the presence of God is to know pure joy and to have a sense of healing. We are praying for healing right now, right? For those that are hurting. But we know God can heal. And it's so important for us to see God that way, a God that heals. And when he heals, whether it's emotionally or spiritually, physically, whatever, however he heals, whatever is required in that moment, it's another way of sensing his presence. Also, when you sense the presence of the Lord, you have a wholeness in you. It's like life is complete in knowing God. I remember when I first got saved, it was like for the first time, I felt whole, like a whole person. Something that was in me was so inadequate, but I didn't know what it was in my ignorance of God. But when you discover how much God loves you and his Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you know life is complete and life can be good with God and knowing his presence in your life and living that way the rest of your life. Isaiah certainly understood that. And to have that purpose, to say, look, we are here for a reason. Everyone out there in the world that's struggling right now with drugs or COVID or finances or whatever, if they don't know God, and the enemy is speaking to them, they're listening to the wrong voices, like we talked about, or we're going to talk about in the midweek study, is what voices are you listening to? If you're listening to a voice, if you're out there and listening right now or watching online and you're hearing voices saying, your life doesn't count, you go to the Word. You go to God in prayer and say, Lord, why am I here? You created this life. What purpose could I possibly have in life? And believe me, God will speak to you in that moment. He sent his Son to connect us to God. It's all about reconciliation. When we're in sin, when we're not walking with the Lord, we're separated from God by our sins. But when we confess those sins, that connection comes through the cross, through the love of Jesus Christ. And we are made new, and we are whole and complete, and we have purpose in our life. And maybe the most important thing is we know we are loved. How many of us have a father who's left us or was just struggling with family issues right now, and we don't sense we're loved? But through the love of Jesus, we can know we're loved in our hearts. The truth of God's love for us. That's the blessing of knowing and experiencing the presence of the Lord, our Emmanuel, with us today, right now. Psalm 51, 11 through 13 says, do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your righteous, generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Once you know the love of God, all you want to do is share it. And that's what we have to do here. That's what we have to all do as Christians, is share the love of Jesus, however we can do it, however God calls us to do it. Important part, what's the first step? Repent. What does Acts 3:19 say? Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. If there's anyone here today, or listening or watching online, that needs to be refreshed, the Holy Spirit will refresh you. Our daily walk with the Lord should be fresh. It should never be stale. The joy of the Lord in us should be contagious, because there's a lot of people that lack joy right now, that just don't have peace of God. When you're encountering people on a daily basis, they should know there's a hope inside of you that they don't have, just by the joy on your face. Now, we're walking around with masks on. Right? As we talked about, you know, I can still see the joy in your eyes, people, unless you have sunglasses back there. I see your sunglasses. But, you know, the joy still comes through, doesn't it? Even though we're here with masks on, I still sense the joy of God in you and His presence here right now. And believe me, it's contagious. Okay? So share it. Okay? Pray for it. Pray for opportunities to share it. And so finally in Luke 15, it says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So what we pray here is, as we progress through this time, that those angels are constantly celebrating a sinner coming to Christ, being saved, and knowing the presence of God. Amen. Amen. So continue to pray for the church body here, again, for the leadership, everything that's going on. We'll close in prayer, and then I'll share some announcements with you, just to repeat. But remember, this is His story about God loving us so much that He sent His Son. This week, the Emmanuel, God with us, and again, next week, Christ is born. And so we'll really look at the meaning, the true meaning of Christmas, that Christ is born. So let's pray, and we'll see what God has for us. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for Christmas and what it means to us. Thank you, Lord, for the Emmanuel, that the truth that God is with us. Lord, help us to receive it again, fall fresh upon your church again. God, we love you. We praise you. We pray you are glorified here always in everything we do, in the name of Jesus. And if there's anyone here or listening or watching and want to draw closer, want God to fall fresh upon them and then to know the joy of His salvation, all you have to do is ask. All you have to do is come to Him in prayer and confess your heart to Him and receive Him as Lord and Savior. So if there's anyone here or listening or watching would like to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, please, please just repeat this simple prayer after me. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I ask you to forgive me, Lord, of all my sins. Give me a brand new heart. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. I accept you as my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. God is good. And I love Christmas. I just love the meaning of Christmas and what it means to us as true believers, and how truly special it is that God is indeed here with us now. Let me just repeat some of the important events. As you know, we have our Wednesday night.